Shit on me. Cause I still can't sleep without medication. And I let my thoughts run wild while I still think I got one. And I care too much about my reputation. And I'm tired of sleeping on this floor.
Hey everyone, Anthony, Interviews at Everyday People, sitting here with Alana Weaver from 570 Press. We did a little one on the over the Facebook stream, and then I was on her show, so now we're kind of repaying the favor, and she's coming on our program now. So we're going to learn a lot about her, her history, everything she's kind of went through in her life, her like origin story, like superhero origin story, and then we're going to learn about 570 Press and the... how that came about and what their plans are for the future. So Alana, you want to say what's up and give us the beginning part of your little intro here?
Yeah, sure. My name is Alana Weaver. I am the co-founder and primary person in charge of 570 Press. I am a musician. I work at a radio station, and I'm an audio engineer as well.
Nice. I applied for a radio station. They didn't look at my application, but also the radio station I applied for, I talked a lot of shit on for a long time. So it's understandable.
That could be why.
Yeah. Well, listen, it wasn't like I was talking shit because they were like, I don't know. They're radio. I'll just say it. It's T102. Like you're T102 and you don't do anything to support your local community unless they pay you money. And that bothers me. Like Crobot is top 10 in the rock charts and they're from your town and you don't even play them on your radio station. Like that bothers me a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, and then like you have all these amazing local bands in your town and you don't even go support local music or local business. And then you're wondering why people don't support you. And when I applied, I was applying with the understanding that maybe I can change that. And they're just like, nah, I didn't even get a call. But it is what it is. My goal is to make the podcast bigger than that eventually one day anyway. So it's all good. It's all good in the hood, as they say. But so you said you're a musician, primary thing for 570 Press. Let's get a little background story here. Growing up, or have you always been involved with music and stuff like this? Or is it something that came later?
It's kind of yes and kind of no. So it kind of like both answers. When I was 5 years old, my mother bought me a Walmart guitar and I literally beat the shit out of it. I literally snapped it right in half because I played it so much. But it really like started for me. Like I was watching VH1 Classic and my parents are older. So like they grew up in like, you know, the hair band era and everything. So they would always have on like, you know, like the music videos from like, you know, Motley Crue and Def Leppard and everything. And excuse me, I will never forget the one night. I don't know what was on, but all I know is Def Leppard was doing some kind of live performance. And obviously it wasn't live at that moment, but I didn't know any better. And as soon as I saw them like playing, I was like, that's what I need to do for the rest of my life. But I never ended up actually going any further than playing my, you know, my Walmart guitar. I actually ended up doing theater from the time I was 5 until I was 18 years old. And then I retired from that and I figured, well, I'll give music another shot. So I went back into that.
Awesome. What was some of the music that was, so you were saying like the hair metal was kind of what got you into it because that's what your parents were into?
Right, yeah.
Yeah, I was a weird thing. So like I was into music, but like my dad was the same way. Like he was into all the like the bands and the classic rock, and my mom was like a pop star queen. She liked all her pop music. I was kind of torn in the middle, but so I could definitely relate. But I didn't play any instruments. I just screamed into a toy microphone. It didn't relate to anything. I didn't become a good singer. Yeah.
Hey, sometimes that happens. It's okay. I I went to school for music, and I still can't sing on key either. It happens.
Yeah, I mean, I try to sing. I get drunk, and I'll get on stage if you ask me, because I have no shame, and I think it's funny. But, yeah, that's about the I just stick to podcasting, yeah. I'll talk to musicians. I won't try to dabble in that world.
Yeah, it's a whole other world out there.
Yeah, and the thing is, too, is like when you're hanging out with your friends and you're like, yo, we'll teach you how to play guitar, and then they're like, they start playing, you're like, and they're already on another level. You're like, listen, I'm good. Like, I'm fine. I'm not going to waste your time, because like, they're just like, just do this, and they just do this crazy shit with their fingers, and I'm like, yeah, I'm good. Just you guys play. I'll just hang out here.
Or they're playing Smoke on the Water and just Smoke on the Water.
Yeah, I picked up a bass and I played Seven Nation Army. That was like, I knew the first three chords of it and I thought I was a badass. I was like, if you need me on stage for those three chords, I got you. Like, I'll come up there, do that. They probably won't be in tune or in key, but or at the right time, but I got you. I blame Rock Band. Yeah. If I would have put as much time into learning how to do Guitar Hero and Rock Band, if I would have did a real instrument, I would be fantastic, because I'm pretty good at those games. But yeah, so
see, I was terrible at Guitar Hero.
Yeah, I'm good with the timing. I have the timing down.
I was terrible at Guitar Hero.
Yeah,
that's okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, over the phone's a little strange. You get that weird delay. So.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so...
Yeah, no, that's okay.
Yeah, so growing up playing guitar and being kind of involved with music that way, I'm speaking like Scooby-Doo, when did it start flourishing in high school and stuff? Like, where did you go to high school?
I went to Hazleton Area Career Center.
Okay.
And I actually took 3 years of cosmetology.
So is that, like, their career center's, like,
I
their
realized
vo-tech?
As... Right, right.
Okay. All right.
So I realized after 3 years, I was in my senior year, and I had missed a lot of time in my junior year because my mother got diagnosed with breast cancer and I got diagnosed with asthma. It was really late for me to be diagnosed with asthma because I was already like 17, almost 18, but I guess that's possible. So I had missed a lot of time, and in order to get a cosmetology license in the state of Pennsylvania, you need to have 1,250 hours.
Yeah.
And I was like 120 hours short. And my teachers are like, well, you can compete in this nail competition, but it's not going to save you. You're going to have to go to Jolie or Empire or whatever. And they're like, but you're going to have to start all over. And as soon as they told me I had to start all over, I was like, well, I need to look for another career then, because this isn't going to work.
Mm-hmm.
Because I just wasted 3 years of my life in here, and something that I wasn't too sure that I wanted to do from the beginning, and you're telling me that I need to start over. So it really started probably towards the end of my senior year that I started getting back into doing music, and I really started to take an interest in it, but it really didn't flourish until I got to college and I went to go see Ice Nine Kills with The Plot in You with my dad and his girlfriend in Harrisburg. And as soon as they hit the stage, I was like, this is it. I am in the right field. I am exactly where I'm supposed to be.
Yeah. I went to Votech for plumbing and heating, and I hated every second of it. So I was like forced into something I didn't want to do. Yeah, so you're seeing your first live band, that when you're like, all right, I'm hooked. This is my journey. This is what I want to pursue. What instrument?
Right.
So you're a guitar player, right? So you mostly play the strings?
I mostly play guitar, and I just recently switched to bass sometime in October.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. And what are some of the bands after that kind of inspired you to kind of do more?
After that is when I really started to get more into the local scene. But I have always been growing up listening to hair bands kind of like pushed me in the direction of metal. I feel like when you grow up listening to hair bands, you go one of two ways. You either go, rock, just straight up rock and like Southern rock and all those other genres of rock, or you go headfirst into metal.
Mm-hmm.
I went that way. And I love Motionless in White. They're a big influence. They're not really metal, and I'm probably going to get a lot of shit for saying this because a lot of people actually hate this band, but I love Pierce the Veil. I've loved them since I was in high school. Handguns was a really big influence for me. Just pretty much bands that, at the time, that I thought were relevant to what I was currently feeling and going through, mm-hmm. they have inspired me.
Awesome. Yeah, I didn't get on the handguns train until recently. I didn't really know much about them, and then a friend of mine joined the band, so it kind of pushed me a little harder towards them. So I've been, you know, diving into them a lot more.
Yeah, they're great.
Yeah, Jake's a cool dude. I got to sit down with him and really pick his brain. He's a good time.
Mhm. Mhm. I interviewed him up in East Stroudsburg with the rest of Handguns back in October, and oh my god, it was by far one of the best interviews I've ever done, just because it made no sense, but it felt like it was natural. Like, it wasn't like I was forcing them to do it, and mm-hmm. like they didn't, like, it didn't seem like they felt like they were being forced.
Yeah, it just really go with the flow type guys.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I've never seen the full band. I've only seen the acoustic act.
Mm.
Yeah.
I still have not seen them live either.
Oh, really? Like, as a full band?
No, not at all.
Oh, wow.
Not as a full band, yeah. I found them probably when I was, like, 15, and I always wanted to see them, but I never really got around to it, and then when I finally went to my first Warped tour, that was literally probably the only year they weren't playing, and I was so pissed.
Yeah, I think that's another thing I missed out on too. I never went to a Warped tour or anything. I was even late on the concert train too, so I never even got to experience that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
That sucks.
I know. I was a late bloomer too.
if someone can hand you a ticket to go see a band right now, who would be a band you would love to go see?
Def Leppard, hands down. I've heard that over the years, Joe Elliott really sucks live and he can't hit the notes anymore. But I mean, just because they're really the band that started it all for me, that would be like my dream.
Mine's either Aerosmith or the Foo Fighters. They're my two. I was gonna go see my dream concert, but then I had a concert ticket for a Friday. The two bands were gonna play together and do the two shows together. One was gonna be in Brooklyn and the other was gonna be in Hershey. So I was like, holy shit, they're gonna play Brooklyn Stadium and then play Hershey Park. What a weird second choice of a venue. But I was like, well, I'm not gonna complain because I can go see it. So we buy the tickets, we're gonna go. Tuesday before the Friday show, the lead singer took his own life, and it was Linkin Park and Blink-182, which were my two favorite bands. Like, I was like they were the two bands that, like, as a kid, I chose that they were going to be my bands. Like, it wasn't like, oh, my dad got me into this band. Like, they were the two bands. I was like, these are my bands. You know what I mean? And I was heartbroken because I liked Chester a lot, and then never seeing that show, always like, kind of like, man, almost, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, I kind of cut you off there.
No, that's okay. That's in some ways how I am with Def Leppard. Like, I'm only 21, so I was born like way after Steve Clark, their original guitarist, had already passed.
Mm-hmm.
But I watched their biopic, Hysteria, the Def Leppard story, and just, you know, some of like what they said about him and like, you know, how his upbringing was. It was very similar to mine, so I really resonated with him. And I feel like that is how I would want to see Def Leppard, and I know that that's not physically possible. But I still feel like I would still have that nostalgia because I've always loved them.
Yeah. I was thinking the same thing about Motley Crue, but I don't know if I want to pay tickets to go see Motley Crue right now. And I love Motley Crue. I don't even know if that concert is even happening at this point because everything going on. But yeah, I have tickets in August to see Weezer, Fall Out Boy, and Green Day. I just hope I get to see that show.
Nice.
Yeah, I'm really excited for that one. Like I said, I have only been to a handful of concerts, and the one band I've seen more times than anybody's, like four times I've seen them, is Steel Panther. I just love, they're just a good time. They're super talented. They're funny. And they always put on a good show. I've never seen a bad Steel Panther show yet.
I've heard that. I've never seen them live, though.
Yeah, they're a good time. Yeah. I got to see them. I seen them in Pennsylvania twice. Once in Well, I seen it in Pennsylvania three times, but one of them I had to drive all the way to Pittsburgh, and then the other time I seen them was in New York City. Oh, not New York City, but Poughkeepsie, New York.
Wow.
Yeah, I went up. That's when they were touring with Crobot, so I went up to see when Crobot opened for them.
Wow.
Yeah, it was really
fun. I've actually never been to New York in my life.
Yeah, I've never been to the city. I've only been to, like, the upstate area.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I've never walked the city of Philadelphia, like, Pittsburgh. Like, New York. I never, like, been to the city. Never seen it.
Me neither. And, like, all those years I was, like, doing musical theater, like, they would go on trips to Broadway. And, like, first of all, you know, I'm not going to name the theater group because there are still some great people down there that I love. But
yeah,
a majority of them are rich kids. And, like, when I say rich, I mean, like, both of their parents were doctors. Like, their parents are, like, bordering on millionaires rich.
Yeah.
And I didn't really have that. You know, my mom's a nurse. My dad is in law enforcement, you know. So, like, I wasn't broke. Like, my mom always made it happen. But, like, I didn't have all this money to go see Broadway shows every weekend. So because of that, I kind of got looked down upon from these kids in this theater group as being, like, you know, different from them. And I was, because I dressed different. I didn't listen to show tunes voluntarily, you know. And obviously, as I said, you know, we had totally different upbringings, but I'm getting really off topic. But, like, the point is like, every single weekend they would go see Broadway. And the one time I got invited, and I was gonna go, but then, like, I decided, I'm like, well, they're not inviting me because they want me there. They're inviting me because they know that, you know, I'm not, like, I'm the quiet kid. I'm not gonna talk to any of them. I'm just gonna sit there and watch the friggin' musical and not know, you know, any of these songs because I don't listen to, like, the album from a Broadway show because I don't care about it.
Yeah, musicals are tough for me as well. I have a really hard time with musicals. I hate when my wife just had this happen with her favorite show. She's a huge fan of what's it called? Like, Riverdale, and they just did a Riverdale musical episode, and my wife was like, "Oh my god, I hate this." Like, she's like, "I love this show," and he was like, when they always have to do that one musical episode, it's like, "Oh my god, like, why do you have to do that?"
Mhm. Like I said, yeah, I did, like, musical theater, but, like, when I left the rehearsals and the shows, I did not put on show tunes voluntarily.
Yeah, same here.
And I applaud people who can do that, but I cannot.
Yeah. So you're still in high school. You're kind of going through that steps. When you finish school, you're finishing your cosmetology thing. You see this band. Now you're kind of swinging towards you want to go to become, like, a sound engineer and learn that path of things. So how did that come about?
I had gotten a full scholarship to Cedar Crest College in Allentown, which is where my mom went. And I was looking through their majors and I realized that literally nothing that they offered interested me. And I started looking into, Luzerne County Community College up in, Nanticoke. And I saw that they offered music recording technology, and I didn't want to be one of those typical, you know, music majors that's like, oh my god, I can play, like, Beethoven's Third on piano and you can't. Like, I didn't want to be like that. So I didn't want to major in music, and I didn't want to major in theater. So when I saw, you know, music recording technology / sound engineering, I started researching the careers, and I found out that, you know, if you play your cards right, you could do pretty much anything that's within the technology or the communication or entertainment field with that degree. So I wouldn't be totally out if I wasn't a sound engineer. So I ended up applying there and got in there. And then I broke the news to my mom that I was going to school for music recording technology. And at first she was like, "Are you sure that's what you want to do?" And then she, like, as, like, right now she's my number one fan. But, like, when I first told her, she's like, are you sure that this is what you want to do?"
Did you ever had any hesitation with it?
No, there was no hesitation. Soon as I saw that major, I was like, "That's it. That's what I'm doing."
So what is that, like, what has that taught you, like, now in the real world? Like, how does that translate it over?
Like my decision or the actual degree itself?
Yeah, the degree.
Well, you know, I didn't mix and master and engineer music in a recording studio in a live setting. I can do light engineering and, you know, all that fun stuff for theater shows or concerts or whatever. I can work in a radio station. I can work in a TV station. Pretty much anywhere where there's a soundboard or there's some kind of editing software involved, I can do it.
Nice, nice. Yeah, that's all the stuff I'm trying to learn, teach myself now, and it's just like I'm struggling so hard. It took me a year and a half to learn my board, and then I bought a new one because I'm like, I don't know what the hell I'm doing with this podcast. Just winging it.
I know. It was funny. At my old job, my old boss was actually like, you know that like the money you're spending on college, you can just buy all the stuff and teach yourself. I'm like, dude, I don't think you understand. I get where you're coming from, but like, I need somebody to show me how to do this.
Yeah, and like, and you won't hire me without that piece of paper.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And you know, it's shocking to me. Like, and I'm not like trying to like look down on people that don't have it, but it's shocking to me how much of the upper hand I've had just because I have that piece of paper. And I'm like, wow, like this is not useless. I thought that this was gonna be useless.
Yeah. Yeah, like if I walk into a studio and you walk in, you're definitely have a way better opportunity than are you a bad chance that I do because you have the degree, or even like trying to think of another like, yeah anything like that like you go to a job, you could be on the job training for 15 years, but if you don't have the piece of paper to take you to the next level, they're gonna outside hire every time, so you have that advantage.
Right. Yeah. But I think that I don't like that that's how most businesses operate because. I guarantee you, and I know people that do it, there are people that never went to college for this and are better than me with sound engineering.
Yeah.
That's just the way it is. You know, there's always somebody better than you, but, like, I don't think it's fair that I should have the upper hand just because I have a piece of paper saying that I can do it.
Mm-hmm.
When, you know, Joe from down the street can do it way better, but he couldn't afford to go to college or he had to work or whatever. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It took me a year and a half with the podcast to learn where your pattern on your microphone came from. We were using the microphones backwards, and I thought that your volume was better than your gain. So I thought the gain was more. It was better than the volume. So I used to crank the gain all the way up, and then wondered why. Like you could pick up my next door neighbor chewing bubble gum on my microphones. We've come a long way. I think if
something else.
Yeah, I think if you listen to some of the early episodes and you listen to now, I think it's been impressive the growth.
Yeah, I mean, props to you for learning microphones because honestly, microphones are, you know, once you learn it, like they almost all have that figure eight pattern. You're pretty good, but like it's just learning that figure eight pattern and how the volume and gain and distortion and everything the hell else works.
Yeah, I used to have cardio mics. So I would put four cardio mics around the table and have them all cranked, and I was wondering why we're bleeding into each other's microphones and it sounded horrible. And we weren't using microphone stands where we put the microphone right next to your mouth so you got a better feel for it. And then we would go to like, I would start getting asked to go to locations and film stuff or record stuff. And we'd be in a huge, huge room. And I would have the headphones in and I had the microphones jacked as way up as I go. And I couldn't hear myself in my headphones. And I realized it's because the cardio mic is like sucking up the entire room. And if you're in a huge, huge, not sound controlled room, your cardio mic is pretty much useless. So I was like, oh, that's a problem. So then I start learning about dynamic mics, and then I can go into a really, really loud room, bring my microphones, and still record a podcast, and you'll have a little bit of background noise, but it's like a subtle background noise. Like it actually sounds nice because it feels like you're actually at that venue, and it's not overpowering. Like you're not hearing their conversations, but you can definitely hear you're in another venue, which I think is kind of nice.
Right. Yeah. That's what I love about them.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and since we're speaking about that topic, I mean, and here's like the prime example of me saying how like it doesn't matter to me that I have the degree, because when I first started at the radio station there, right before this pandemic hit, they were starting to train me for an on-air position.
Oh, nice.
I walked into the isolation studio to demo tracks, some voice tracks. And the first time I did it, I plugged the headphones into the mixing board. It was a simple little 8-channel mixer. And my boss had showed me. He's like, just push your volume up. And I pushed my volume down somehow, and I turned up the music, and I couldn't hear myself in the headphones. And he's like, my boss was like playing it back. He's like, why do you sound like you're yelling? And I'm like, because I couldn't hear myself.
I think I'm going to be recording some stuff. I got to get in contact with him now that I have time to do it. I think I'm going to do like a guest spot on Jay's channel for iRock.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he wants me to do a guest spot there. I would love to try to do on like, if I can do that as a person, like a job, like an on-air DJ, I think I would, that would be a really fun time. But I don't know. I would like, what's the station? Like, you work for 97.9, right?
No, I interned with 97.9. That's right. Now yeah, I work for 98.5 KRZ.
Okay, yeah, I like how the 97.9 does the local music section. Like, I think that's awesome. I'm a big fan.
Oh,
of that.
Yeah. They do it, and Alt 92.1 in Scranton does it. It's actually on right now. There's a Saturdays, 97.9s is Sundays.
Yeah, and the thing is like you'll have people tune in to be like, hey, my band is playing. Can you tune into the radio station? And you're gonna get traffic to your station because you're showing love to local artists. Like, I don't know. Like if you were a radio, if I was a radio personality, and I lived in a town like Pottsville or Scranton or something, if you walk into a venue, people should be like, holy shit, the radio's here. Like that should be a thing. You know what I mean? Like, oh, they're here. Maybe we can be featured on our state. Like you would hype people up a little bit. You know what I mean? Like, there's no presence like that in our area when it comes to radio.
Right. Unless it's SiriusXM, because everybody wants to get on SiriusXM. And I'll tell you something, you know, I don't mind satellite radio, but it's not the same. It's not homegrown. It's not literally right in your backyard. Like most of these radio stations are.
What annoys me with Sirius Satellite Radio, and I think the only stations that do a good job is like Octane and stuff, is because most of those stations on Sirius Satellite Radio, you're paying a subscription and you're paying a really healthy subscription. And if you listen to your favorite station for more than 2 days in a row, you're listening to the same 15 songs over and over again.
Like, oh, yeah.
They're not paying DJs. Like, and I get it. Money's hard and it's tough. But like, I can see like an online radio station where you can get away with that because obviously it's you don't have the money to do it. And a lot of online radio stations, that's not their main income. But like Sirius Satellite Radio, like you make a lot of money. You know what I'm saying? And you can't hire a DJ to show up from a 9 to 5. That's ridiculous to me. Like, I think if you're in the your morning time, or you should have at least 2 DJs during your day that are live on the state on air. Like, that's the point of it. Like, you're satellite radio, not online radio. You know what I mean? Like, you should still take yourself seriously. I that pre-recording DJ stuff annoys me on Sirius.
I know. And, like, I worked for DoorDash. Like, I decided to pick up a couple, you know, extra hours, you know, since this pandemic thing's going on. So I spend, like, the majority of my days in a car. And I have, like, my mom, well, I blew the engine in my car, but that's a story for later. So I'm using my mom's truck. And she has satellite radio in it. And, like, during, like, a two-hour span, I'll notice, like, if I turn on, like, the 80s channel, it's, like, Poison. Then I'll go to, like, Octane or something, and it's Five Finger Death Punch. But then, like, I'll listen to Octane for a while, and then maybe I want to listen to the Vinyl channel. So I go to that. But then I go back to the 80s channel, and the same Poison song is on again.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. It's ridiculous.
That's frustrating. That's why the only thing I really like on Sirius is I like the talk radio. I'm a really big fan of, like, obviously Howard Stern. And even if you have a rerun of that, I still enjoy it. But I'm a big wrestling fan. So I like the one show on there called Busted Open. And they talk about pro wrestling.
Right. Yeah.
I just like talk radio. I like listening to people talk sometimes, especially if I'm in my car. Like, I'll put a podcast on, and that's just my go-to jam.
See, I run a podcast and I listen to podcasts. Like, I love, like, horror podcasts and just regular podcasts even too. But I love to listen to, like, Mr. Nightmare. I fucking hate Chills. Pardon my language, but I hate Chills on YouTube. I don't know why.
Top 10 scariest videos you'll ever see in your entire life. They thought they were, like, alone, and they were wrong. Like, my wife hates his voice.
Yeah. Like, I mean, I feel like I would like him if he didn't talk like that.
Yeah. If you want to see what I look like, come over to Instagram and check Jillin is Chillin', and you can see my face. Like, oh my God, man. What are you doing?
Like, Like, bro, you're trying way too hard.
It doesn't even sound like he's trying, though. It's just like, this is just how I'm going to roll. Personality very monotone.
Yeah. But, like, I'll throw on, like, a Mr. Nightmare or a Ermaker or Unit 522 or even, like, Lead Singer Syndrome or, you know, Interviews with Everyday People or just some random podcast, like, if I'm, like, doing dishes.
Yeah.
For whatever reason, when I'm in the car, I can't listen to talk. I can't listen to talk radio. I can't listen to podcasts. And, like, if I'm listening to the radio and a commercial comes on, I'll change to the next channel or I'll put on my Spotify.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm a big Spotify guy. I like my Spotify. Like,
yeah, me too.
My new obsession is Bandcamp. I didn't know about Bandcamp.
Oh, yeah.
And that's my new obsession now. I wish every platform had the Bandcamp platform where you can just be like, hey, I like this guy. I want to throw him $5. Like, I think that, like, I wish that was a thing.
Yeah, for real. But, like, I bought an iPad for the page back in January, and literally all I did was I downloaded Bandcamp, and I just listened to like, the new Handguns record for, like, a solid month, and then I'm like, I should probably start using this iPad for, like, actual work.
I'm not even sure if I follow Handguns. I'm trying to find all these bands I can follow on Bandcamp, and I don't know if I ever followed Handguns, which is a shame. I should definitely do that. Let me look real quick. Yeah, I'm a fan of. I like how you can support. Yeah, I am following them. I like how you can support them like that. I actually found out that on Anchor, I did not know this was a thing. If you go on Anchor, I can't really see it from my page because I'm on my app. But supposedly there's a thing that people can go on and they can donate like a monthly subscription. Like I'll give you $2 a month or $5 a month or like on Anchor. I never promoted it, though, so this is actually the first time I ever talked about it. I just found out it was a thing today.
So it's kind of like Patreon, but, like, for podcasts.
Yeah, that's what I said. I wish something like that was, like, Bandcamp was like that for podcasting, like, where people can be like, man, I like that episode. Here's $1. You know what I mean? Because people don't realize, like, it does help a little bit. Like, if I put this episode on YouTube, YouTube doesn't give me anything. But if people listen to the audio on, like, Spotify or Anchor or Apple Music, and they listen to that first 30-second ad, I get a little bit of, not a lot, like a couple cents, you know what I mean? So it does help. But
right.
Yeah, and then merch pages help a lot, too.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. But I really feel like I feel like a lot of the like local bands and the local artists should look into utilizing Bandcamp because it's like you said, like a lot of people don't know about it. And, you know, I don't mean any disrespect by this, but like all these locals are trying to get on Spotify and Apple Music and everything. And that's good. That's good to reach a broader audience, but you're making what, like, 2 cents, maybe 14 if you have a lot of streams off of one song. Mm-hmm. Whereas Bandcamp, you can literally set your price.
Yeah.
And I think that part of the problem is that maybe people don't know about it. Maybe because it's not as big as Spotify, they're not really interested in it. Hey, cool. I mean, to each their own, but like, you know, would you rather make 15 cents off of one stream or make $5, you know, because this guy really likes what you're doing?
Mm-hmm. And I think when people do that name your price thing, I think it's like, oh man, that's a like to me. I'm like, listen, if you say, hey, my album is on here for $10, I don't think $10 is egregious for your work, and I will definitely if I had the money, I support it. But like, where someone turns around, like our intro music, Churches and Trains, is on there, and he's just like, yeah, whatever you're comfortable with. I for me personally, like if you're telling me what I can pay, 9 times out of 10, I'm probably gonna go higher than what you probably would have asked before anyway. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Yeah. Because it's like...
And, you know, a lot of...
Oh, I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
No, that's okay. No, go ahead. Go ahead.
Has
I think the problem is that there's a slight delay.
Delay crushes me. Yeah, that's why it's like... I love doing them in person, but it's the only problem with this over-the-phone thing. So with your merch page, have you seen any success with the Teespring? How's that been working out for you?
We've been doing pretty okay. We actually ended up getting picked up by Axelrad Screen Printing in Scranton.
Mm-hmm.
They were so gracious to include us in a part of the Shirt Off Our Bats movement. And their goal is like, all you have to do is just send them a logo. You don't pay anything at all. It can only be one color. But I mean, really, when you get into like more than one color, like it's kind of obnoxious to look at anyway.
Yeah.
But, you know, you can only do, like, a one-color logo, but you know, any money that they make from this movement, they've raised $25,000 for local businesses so far.
Nice.
And every penny that they make goes right to the businesses that are involved in it.
That's fantastic. And do you get anything per your shirt, or is just pretty much like people are going to be wearing your shirt then? It's just like more advertising than it is money.
It's a little bit of both. So like if I sell 100 shirts, they're like $15 a piece. So I think they take like a small cut of that. So
yeah,
I would probably walk away with like $800 or $900.
Nice, nice. And do they ship the shirts for you, or do you have to like pick them up and do that route?
No, they ship them for you. They do all the advertising and marketing. The only negative is they do not ship international, because I have a friend up in Canada and he wanted one because they're in black.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a black on white. And actually Noah designed the logo for it.
Yeah, I really, really like that 570 Press logo. I think it's a cool logo.
Yeah, me too. I love it. And Noah's mm-hmm. like, I made that in like 2 seconds. I'm like, dude, I love it. It's going on a shirt. Yeah. So
is that logo also on the Teespring page as well?
Not yet. We're working on that.
Yeah. Once it goes on Teespring, I mean, not that I'm not trying to support the other one, but I don't know if I missed out that opportunity. I don't have the cash right now, but I'll definitely be picking up one of those 570 ones.
Right. Yeah. And you know, even if it's not Teespring, the Shirt Off Our Bats movement from Axelrad, that's going on for, I guess, as long as this pandemic is.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's definitely still time with that. And, you know, if you wanted to look into maybe, like, getting, like, some of your merch on there for your podcast, I could send you over the information. Because, literally, and this is going to sound bad, but, like, if you, like, submit that you're interested, like, 9 times out of 10, they'll be like, yeah, just send us over your logo. We'll handle it from here. Like,
I just
really
don't think
that.
I just don't think I have a one-color logo. Most of my logos are two colors.
Well, I mean, if not, like, they can, like, alternate it. Like, they can, like,
make it all black
mine
or all
is,
white.
Like, right, like mine is like black and white, so I don't think that like that really made like much of a difference. But mm-hmm. like the guy was like, "Do you mind if I flip these colors?" I'm like, "No, dude, I don't care. Whatever you think's gonna look better."
Yeah, yeah, but maybe I'll reach out to maybe if like you say like I'll figure that out. Maybe I'll send them something over. I don't care if I make anything from it. If it all goes somewhere, that's awesome.
Right,
I honestly don't make much money off Teespring anyway, because I have my prices so low that I have it just so people can buy it, so that they walk around and people can see that this is something I'm doing. You know, it's more or less to get the name out there than it is to make money off it.
I know. That's how I am. And you know, I know that like a lot of bands and artists and everything depend on merch, but sometimes you have to kind of cut your losses and take the advertising over making a profit off of that. When you're still local, or you're still like in your like infancy phases, like, you know, you shouldn't be charging $50 or $60 for a hoodie, you know, if nobody really knows who you are.
My hoodies are $25 on the website. A hoodie.
Exactly.
That's crazy.
See, that's exactly my point. Like I've seen bands like have hoodies that are like $55, and it's an instant turnoff. I'm like, dude, Nobody's even gonna know who you are. So like, why am I paying $55 for this when I could literally go to like Breaking Ben's merch page right now and get the same thing for $5 more.
Yeah. Yeah. It's tough. It's tough out there. That's why I like Teespring. I can't, obviously I don't have the luxury of setting up a table somewhere and selling stuff. And I don't have the luxury of buying a mass quantity of an item to sell it either. So I think the Teespring works out really, really well for me. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. I definitely agree. And again, thank you so much for introducing me to that.
No problem. I'm always trying to help people out. Like if I find something out and it can help other people, I'm always about it.
Right. Because I was like losing my mind. I was like in contact with like a bunch of like local screen printers, and they're like, yeah, it's like $10 a shirt and you need to purchase a minimum of 250. I'm like, I don't have $2,500.
Mm-hmm. And if I did, it would go towards
and
my...
they're like...
Like, I every time I make any money, it's always going to buy better equipment.
So right, my show I'm like, looks I don't have $2,500.
Yeah.
Right. And then you get into, like, if you have more than one color, they're like, oh, well, it's $7 extra per shirt if you want this. Once again, I don't have that kind of money.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely. That's why I would say if you are listening and you're looking to start up a business or looking to start up anything, definitely check out Teespring. And if you are looking to start a podcast, Anchor is definitely a really good fun way to go too. It's a free domain and they'll put you everywhere. It's a good, you probably heard the Anchor commercial at the beginning, but there's a quick another one in there. So yeah, getting with 570 Press, is that something you created or is that what somebody else created and you kind of jumped on board? How did that come about?
I just told a story to Noah last night, actually. So I was in my final month of college. I was literally on the verge of graduating. And I realized that I had reached a problem. And that problem was that I needed to find an internship before, I think it was like May 1st was my last official day of classes. I needed to find an internship before May 1st, because if I didn't, I wouldn't graduate on time. My college was really cool though. They're like, if you're like missing like one course, we will let you walk to graduation, but we cannot give you your degree until, you know, this date, like until you finish this amount of hours. So I was looking for an internship and I reached out to a friend of mine named Ricky, and he's like, well, it's not an internship and I don't know if this will help, but I'm considering like, you know, starting up this little like press page thing. So I asked my professor and of course it didn't help, but 97.9, shout out to them. They picked me up and they really helped me. They are the reason that I graduated college. So shout out Duffy, you know, Laura G, Lazy E, everybody involved with Cumulus. I love you all. Thank you so much. But you know, and then I said to Ricky, I'm like, dude, like I'm not really into journalism. Like I'm a sound engineer. Like I used to write like, you know, stories like fan fiction for like bands or Harry Potter or whatever. And I'm really like exposing myself because that's really cringy. But like I used to do that when I was
fan fiction band stuff? I'm curious.
Fan fiction is kind of like, okay, like for an example, like if you have like Motley Crue and like there was somebody who was like really, really into Nikki Sixx. Like you would like write a story about them and like their life with like Nikki Sixx. Like it's a weird thing. It's a really weird thing to get into. But so I did that for a while. And like I always liked to write like stories, but I never really cared too much for journalism.
Mm-hmm.
Just because like I keep to myself. I don't like to be in other people's business, but for some reason I always know other people's business, like whether I want to know it or not.
Yeah.
So he approached me and he's like, okay, we'll just do one band interview and if you like it, I'll bring you on. And I'm like, All right, I'll do it. So I ended up interviewing Blind Choice. They were the first band I ever interviewed, and I ended up really liking it. And you know, I had like really positive reception. Everyone's like, wow, she's good, you know, and everything, you know, like she has a knack for this. And I was like, okay, maybe I'm on to something here. And then we started, I ended up coming on the page full time and I was doing the internship. I left my job and I was doing the internship and the page full time. And then I was like, you know what? Okay, I think I'm on to something here. So Ricky, he's still like involved with the page and I still credit him as being the founder, but he has some other personal things going on in his life, and that's totally fine. I don't mind, you know, kind of like navigating the ship. Like, I'll still like message him and I'll be like, hey, Ricky, you mind if I do this? He's like, no, man, I don't care. And then I'm like, okay, cool. So like, I still run it by him, but like, I kind of like took over. And ever since I took over, I'm like, okay, I think I'm on to something. And we've been branching out ever since. So I literally got into it by accident because it was literally like the fluke. Like, I just messaged him and I'm like, do you know of any recording studios looking for an internship? And he's like, no, but how about this?
Yeah, that's awesome. Now, when it first started, what were some of the things that you would do to help the page grow?
I invited my entire friends list to like the page. Ricky invited his entire friends list. I would, you know, do everything I could to always plug myself in any way possible. Like, you know, like, if I was, like, casually talking to a friend from high school, I'd be like, by the way, check out this new thing I just started. And it really didn't start to pop until we got involved with Hazleton News 1. Shane actually helped us out a lot. He invited his entire friends list. He would share us on Hazleton News 1. And then that's how we got the attention of DI Records. And then they've been helping us grow. And You know, it's just been like kind of like everything piggybacking onto the next thing.
Is Hazelton News One like a TV thing?
No, actually, he is solely online. Like, he does, like, he'll do, like, you know, live streams and weather forecasts and everything like that, but he is solely an online news outlet. But he's one of the biggest ones in the Hazelton area, and I was really stunned.
Oh, wow. Yeah, because I was reached out by a TV thing in Hazelton to do something with Bangin' Beers. We were supposed to do it, and then the whole virus thing took over, so it was really hard to find time to do it.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
We got tied up with the Sanctuary, which is a stunt studio in Hazelton. Shout out them as well. We haven't been able to do much for them, and I feel bad about it because part of like our partnership, if you know, like so to speak, like it's not technically a partnership, but it kind of is. Like, you kind of get where I'm going with this.
Mm-hmm.
But like part of like our partnership with the Sanctuary was like I would like help him, like, you know, get like more like things besides wrestling in there. And I was just about to start doing it right as the like everything like hit the fan with this pandemic. So I mean, we're kind of like stuck, but you know, that's how we got involved with them. And you know, like I said, everything has just been piggybacking onto another, and it's really shocking to me for something that I literally was hesitant about and didn't want to do at first has now become literally my pride and joy.
Yeah. So what is some of the content you guys put out on your page for people who maybe don't know about 570 Press?
We try, you know, Jordan and Jamie, my other two team members besides Ricky, we try and, you know, go a little out of the box. You know, like we do like band interviews. We just started doing like an artist spotlight at the beginning of this new year, you know. We do like playlists for people to like get to know like, you know, our music taste, and then we'll add like bands that we've featured onto that playlist. You know, we do a lot of promotion. Sometimes we book shows, but Ricky mostly does that just mm-hmm. because I used to book shows when I was like first, like in my first year of college, and I do not have the patience to do it. Oh, so
it can be a nightmare. It's so stressful.
Yeah. So I let Ricky handle all that. You know, part of the condition is, like, he gets to, like, pick the bands. And I'm like, dude, I don't care. Just book a show and just leave me out of it. I don't care what you do.
Yeah.
I'll come. I'll feature these bands. I'll promote it. But I want no parts of booking it.
Yeah, I've done two so far. And both of them turned out shockingly somehow very well. But the it's so stressful. It's just so.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was just freaking out the entire time. But if I had to do it again, I would go the route of the charity again, because it's just more my speed. I'm more of a fan of that than anything else.
Yeah, yeah. And you know, when I was in college, I took a course on music theory, and the professor's like, never do anything for charity. And I'm like, dude, like, I'll do what I want. Like, if I want to support a good cause, hell yeah. Like, I don't need the money that bad, dude. Like,
yeah, I'll tell you what.
I mean,
after the first charity I did, it was for Toys for Tots. It was unbelievable. Like, the next day when you got to see like all the toys in the building and how much, like, you don't think you contributed that much, because I was like, oh, we only did like 4 or 5 boxes of toys. And then we walk in and they're like, the first thing that happened was this girl, like the one lady who works there, we walked in and she's like, oh my God, you have this toy. And like, she's like, we've been waiting for a toy just like this. Like, this one girl, like, she wanted this one exactly. So she got all excited and ran it over and put it in this girl's box. And I was just like, all right, well, that's enough right there to know that we've done something cool, you know? So it's just really cool to see that aspect of it. So when it comes down to charity, like, I don't care if I ever make a dime. I'm broke. I'm poor. I get it. I'm a paycheck to paycheck type person. But if I can help somebody else out, I'm a huge fan of that.
Yeah, me too.
Mm-hmm. So what are some of the future plans that you have set up for 570 Press? Like, once this whole thing breaks open again, and we can go back to normal, What are some content ideas that you have set up?
Well, we want to get more hands-on than we are. Like, we want to get more audience engagement. So we just introduced pet of the week, and you know, audience members can submit their pets, and I have a variety of pets. Jamie does, Jordan does. So, you know, if at first we don't get submissions, we'll like kind of like feature our own, mm-hmm. and then, you know, start to feature like shelter pets, and then we want to eventually branch out and do like a punk rock flea market, and you know, things like that, and just kind of like bring the community back together. And I feel like after the pandemic is over, there's no better time to get a community together than, you know, right at that point, because, you know, this is devastating a lot of people. It's going to continue to, and it's going to leave a lot of people devastated. And, you know, just, I feel like kind of knowing that the community is behind you and that there's people that are willing to do anything to help out, you know, where they came from and the people that live in their neighborhood or their community. I feel like that is something that we can at least look forward to during this time.
Yeah.
You know, if nothing else, you know, and we want to continue to do like bigger interviews. Like, of course, we'll still continue to promote and feature local bands, but we have a bigger interview coming up, hopefully in August, if all goes well. I don't know if that's still going to pan out just because of the circumstances right now.
Mm-hmm.
And then we were supposed to have one with Ricky Rocket from Poison in August as well. But
oh, cool.
Once again, I don't know if that's going to pan out either. So we want to try and branch out into more like bigger acts just to kind of like get our name out there a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, mostly our plans for the future is just, you know, continuing to support each other as a community, continuing to support bands and just doing what we love, which is going to shows, meeting all these people and helping them achieve their goals and dreams in any way we possibly can.
Yeah. What I want to start doing once the pandemic's over, I want to start coming up that way and seeing bands like the Hazleton area, Scranton area, our Wilkes-Barre area. I never really got to experience any of those bands. I've just been kind of in the Schuylkill County area. So it'd be fun to kind of branch out and see other people and see some other talented people and maybe even work out some stuff where maybe a band from this area can play in Schuylkill County and vice versa to kind of help these bands kind of open the gates from one another, you know?
Oh, definitely, definitely. Because I've noticed, you know, a majority of, you know, the bands that I know of play in Scranton. And you know, my dad lives in Schuylkill County. So, like, if I'm ever at his house, like, you know, like, before the pandemic hit or whatever, like, there wouldn't, like, I would know the bands from Schuylkill County, but, like, I wouldn't know them enough to, like, say that I could become a fan of them. So I would go see them, but then, like, you know, you would go to another bar and they wouldn't have any live music at all. And you're like, well, I mean, I know people up in Scranton who could play here. But the problem is, I think it's the lack of connections is what it comes down to, you know?
Yeah, maybe we can work each other out. We can help each other bridge that gap.
Oh, exactly. Yeah, mm-hmm. Definitely. Definitely. Yeah.
Awesome. Well, I think a thing we should set up too is we should probably do like a three-way interview and have like your entire F570 team. We could figure something out that way too in the future.
Yeah, yeah. I think that would be good because we just did that with Noah last night, and it was a shorter one, but I feel like, you know, Jordan and Jamie can go more in depth with like their lives and everything, because Jamie is actually my cousin. Mm-hmm. Our dads are brothers.
Oh, nice.
And she was a writer before she got involved with this, and she still is. She's a published author.
Oh, cool.
What does she write? Really awesome stories to tell. She writes like, you know, family drama and, you know, like things like that, but she's working on like some other genres. I'm not going to say, I don't want to like ruin it, but she's working on like some more genres and everything. And she does poetry too.
Cool. Cool.
So, you know, if anybody is looking for a book to read.
If she's doing poetry and she's looking to get her book out somewhere too, Press Coffee in Pottsville, they do poetry nights, and they also do, or if you're a unpublished author or you're an author trying to get your name out there, a local, they will put like a little section for you in their bookshop.
Oh, wow. I'll have to tell her that. Yeah, because she just moved back here from Oregon back in right in the middle of the freaking pandemic. She literally came back and the day after she got here, like she landed in Jersey, and the day after she got here, they literally shut down New Jersey. And I'm like, dude, you got here just in time.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. But, I'll have to let her know about that because as I said, you know, she just came back and she's looking for like all kinds of stuff. And if anybody listening is interested, you can find her books on Amazon. And, you know, her book, Anything, A Burning Bridge, Storm in My Teacup, Anarchic. I don't know how to pronounce stuff, but I can spell, you know, some like really long word, but I can't pronounce it.
Yeah.
Anarchic Flux, you know, all of those books, you know, especially, you know, like, you know, indie authors, indie artists, indie bands, that's what we're here for. So make sure you check that out if, you know, anybody listening reads books, because I know some people do and some people don't, but I figure it's a really good thing to do, especially during this time. And, you know, even if you have free time when there isn't, you know, the world, you know, possibly ending outside.
Yeah. it's the apocalypse. Yeah. Well, is there anything else in closing you want to get out, let people know about?
2020 is going to be like the second half is going to be 570 Press's year. We have a lot of really cool stuff going on behind the scenes. We have a lot of really cool stuff that we're planning. Make sure you check out IWEP Network. Make sure you check out,
that.
You know, 570 Press, check out indie authors. And for the love of God, if you can, when shows come back, please go and support local music.
Absolutely.
I can't stress it enough. And always remember what I always tell people, Breaking Ben and Motionless and White were once local bands. So make sure that you show the local bands the same support that you do all the national bands as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, they all got to start somewhere. So it definitely helps out. Anything you ever need from our end, you know we're always here. If you ever want, you need someone to call in or just talk or do anything like that, I'm always here.
Oh, absolutely. And I appreciate that. And that goes for you too.
Absolutely. All right. Well, it was fantastic. So definitely, just send me all the links of everything over too. If you contact your cousin or anything, and she wants to put that on there, yeah. Anything you need plugged, let me know, and they will be on the links below. So if you guys want to go check all that out, just check out the links on the bottom. But once again, thank you, Alana, so much for calling in, and we really really look forward to future plans we have to hang out with each other and do some cool stuff and maybe make some good connections in the area. Sound good?
Absolutely, and thank you so much for having me.
Anytime. All right, well, that'll do it for Interviews Everyday People. This is going to be episode number 70. Look at that. You're that's the 70 mark. We're getting there. I actually just remember we were talking about in the beginning about all the content, right? So I was kind of looking at all the interviews that I'm doing for the rest of the week. If I have every interview, no one pulls out, everything goes to plan, I'm set until October 5th with content.
Wow.
Yeah. So this interview will
That's
come out.
Dope.
Yeah. This interview will come out. It's looking like, oops, hold on. I just lost my marker. June 29th, you'll come out this episode.
Okay.
So just in time for the summer and for all that fun stuff.
Yeah. Absolutely. Sounds great.
Awesome. Like I said, if you ever need anything, let me know. And if consider yourself a partner of the podcast, and I hope 570 Press kicks ass this year like you're planning on it. All right.
Oh, absolutely. Same to you too. Anything you need, don't hesitate to message any of us, the page, me, whatever you need. Let us know.
Awesome. All right. Perfect. We'll talk to you then. See you soon.
All right. Sounds good.
Without medication, can't let my thoughts run wild while I still think I got one, and I care too much about my reputation, and I'm tired of sleeping on this floor. Yeah, I'm tired of sleeping on this floor.